Hello and welcome to podcast number 9 from the Self-Publishing Formula.
Two writers, one just starting out, the other a bestseller. Join James Blatch and Mark Dawson and their amazing guests as they discuss how you can make a living telling stories. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello, Mark and I back. We had a blast at the London Book Fair, and I hope that you enjoyed those two episodes that we filmed around and about to give you a kind of author eye view of the LBF. It was fun, wasn't it, Mark?
It was great fun. And a quick pop quiz. When was the Olympia built?
We should actually set this as a quick quiz question, but it was 1886.
Correct.
What have I won?
You've won, dinner with me. Oh, right. Second prize is two dinners with me.
Exactly. The opportunity to sound slightly less unprepared than we did when we started talking about the history of the building. It was my fault. Okay, so we're sort of back to normal for this podcast. We're going to be hearing from a very important person in the self-publishing sphere, and this is Ricky Wallman. I'm going to introduce her properly in a moment when we get talking to her, but suffice to say, Ricky is all about visibility. It's all about you being noticed and getting your books noticed, getting your head above the fray. And this is something that's going to be very much on your plate soon, Mark, isn't it? Because you've got a launch coming up.
Yeah, so I'm just coming to the end of the last kind of edit that I'll do on the new John Milton book, which is called The Jungle. And the kind of the launch date for that is going to be the 20th of May. So what I will do as we run up to that is I'll record some snippets that go into everything on my launch sequence. So sending it out to editorial, getting comments back, sending it to the pre-team, getting comments back, and then the precise sequence that I use to launch. And you know, I'll talk about how well it does. I'm going to have a go at getting onto one of the bestseller lists this time. So that will be a really interesting episode that I suspect will be out round about the end of May. But it's all about visibility, and that's something that Ricky knows lots and lots about.
It is. Well, that sounds like a great thing. I'm looking forward to that as well from my own point of view when that comes up. But let's get into this interview then with our friend Ricky Wallman. Okay, so we're delighted to welcome Ricky Wallman to the SPF podcast. You're well known amongst the community, but let me just introduce her anyway. Founder and CEO of Written Word Media, of course. She holds an MBA from Harvard, no less, and Ricky incubated Freebooksy, Written Word Media's first web property within her online marketing agency. Ricky has over 10 years' experience building audiences online using data-driven customer acquisition techniques. And just a quick word on Written Word Media, because it's an impressive set of stats. It's served over 18,000 authors, many of whom are self-published, but also works with three of the big five major publishers, as well as a long list of smaller publishers and publicists on book promotions. Written Word Media has a combined audience of over 700,000 readers, of which over 400,000 receive email book recommendations based on their genre and device preferences. It's a powerful platform, and she's a powerful woman. Hello, Ricky.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you along, Ricky. And I'm going to let Mark kick off because I know you are a bit of a fan, Mark, aren't you?
I am, yeah. And there's a good story. I mean, I've told Ricky this before. When I started self-publishing 3 or 4 years ago, the first major indication that I might be onto something was when I did a KDP Select kind of free weekend using those 5 free days that Amazon gives you. And I don't know where I found out about Freebooksy. I guess I lucked into it a bit, but I booked a promotion for the book I was promoting at the time. And I'd gone out, it was like August, I think, in kind of harvest time. And I'd gone out for a ride on my bike. I live in the countryside and out in the farmer's fields, and he was harvesting the crop. And I just decided to sit down and check the stats. So I got my phone out, miraculously had a signal, and pulled it up and found out that I'd had about 40 or 50,000 giveaways just in 2 or 3 days. And the main reason for that was because I'd booked that Freebooksy promotion. And that was a real light bulb moment for me, that I could leverage the combination of Amazon's promotion and backing up with a with an email blast from a company like Freebooksy to get my book into the hands of people who'd never heard of me before. And I think that was the kind of the tipping point for me to actually start taking things seriously. So I've always had a really, really soft spot for Freebooksy. It's one of my favorite promotional venues.
Well, I love that story, Mark, and it, you know, makes us really happy on this end to have been able to help in some small way in you launching this amazing career that you now have as both a writer and as somebody who's helping so many other authors out there who want to do the same thing. So,
yeah, thanks.
Ricky, how did this start for you? How did the publishing aspect of your work start?
So as you mentioned briefly, James, in the intro, my background is really in online marketing and audience building, not really in publishing per se. And I had a consulting agency where I'd work with a lot of clients. I had also worked with some major brands like The Body Shop, which is actually a UK-based company that's international, and done a lot of work for them. And while I was consulting to my clients, I'd been doing this for a little while, my mom was in the midst of publishing a book, self-publishing it herself, very niche in a kind of religious fiction genre. And she had found out about Amazon's free days with KDP Select and had decided to give that a shot. In so doing, she set her book free, as many authors do. I think she set it free for 3 days, and she barely got any downloads. And she was really disappointed by this. And, you know, we were having a chat by phone, and she was telling me about her experience. And I was pretty surprised that her book being free had not gotten more traction. And so I started doing some research for her and realized that although free days on KDP can be very powerful, the issue of discovery is almost the same as having your book priced. Because if you go to Amazon at the time, there were, when I had checked it for her, over 5,000 books that were free. And so her book was just having a really hard time surfacing itself to readers. And so in trying to crack this problem for her, I decided, well, what if I started a blog? I called it Freebooksy. Really back then, I called it that because of search engine optimization. I wanted to show up for terms like, you know, free books. And what if I put her book and selected a few other books from Amazon that were free on this blog? And would that help her move more copies next time she did a KDP free day? And lo and behold, it did. The next time she ran a promotion, she was able to download hundreds of books, again, niche genre. So she wasn't really looking at the thousands of downloads like somebody like Mark or someone who's writing one of the head genres would see back then. And Freebooksy was born. You know, it was really a side project for me for quite a while. For the first 2 years, I was still focusing mainly on the consulting. But what I was doing is I was using Freebooksy as a test bed for my clients. So if Facebook came out with a new ad product, I would test that on Freebooksy. When Pinterest rolls out, I would set up an account for Freebooksy. So it enabled me to be really smart with my clients because I was able to test all of this on my own homegrown site. But the side effect was that I started growing a really large audience because I was spending time, resources, and investing marketing dollars on the site. You know, authors started approaching me and asking if, you know, they could pay to be featured on Freebooksy, and it started to take off as a business in its own right. For the past 2 years now, almost, that has been my sole focus. I have shut down my consulting business, and Written Word Media is, you know, really the parent company of Freebooksy and the three other sites that we have. But my story, like the story of many, you know, self-published authors, was that of kind of figuring it out in the beginning, and I still had a full-time job that wasn't my focus. And today I'm really living the dream of being able to work for myself and do this full-time. And it's been an incredible ride.
Do you think that's something, I mean, you say 5,000 free books at the time that your mum's book came out. So that's 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, I wonder what the number is now. I don't actually know what it is, but it must be at least 4 or 5 times that.
Yeah, I would think so. I haven't checked it in a little while, but I know the last time I did check, which was last year sometime, it was, you know, over 12,000 free books when I was searching for something. So the number is growing exponentially. And so this issue of discovery is becoming more and more important.
Yeah, because I remember really vividly the first time I did the free days. This was before I wised up and used Freebooksy to give me a hand. And it was really disappointing because I've been led to believe that kind of the free option was this golden bullet that everyone would see the book and would download it, and that would be the start of a wonderful career. And of course, that isn't what happens, because there are so many free books. It's so difficult to get any visibility. And that's the main question. It's still the main question today, is how do you cut through the noise? How do you cut through the noise and find your readers? You reminded me that it was one of the main things that bothered me when I started doing this, and it's still just as relevant right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, free is a very powerful tool because it does help you with that initial adoption, and conversion rates on free are a whole lot higher than conversion rates on paid. But at the end of the day, whether it's free or priced, whatever product it is, you still have to market it. And it's the same across industries, really. If you look at, you know, apps as an example, iPhone apps or Android apps, there are hundreds of thousands of them that are free, and they are also trying to market and get people to, you know, download them. So we're living in a very interesting time where consumers want things for free, and there are so many free things out there, but it's how do you actually find the consumers to, quote unquote, purchase your product?
My point of view, Ricky, of somebody starting up in this area, it can sometimes sound a little bit despondent when you hear the figures of how many people are giving away their books, but I still suspect, and I'm sure I have a view on this, that the percentage of authors who are prepared to take that extra step to understand the marketing, to understand the push, to understand the coordination effort that needs to go around marketing their book is still quite small.
The numbers may sound discouraging, but if you take a step back and you look at the picture as a whole and how indie authors are doing and how many authors are making money from their craft of writing for the first time ever, that is growing as well. And so to your point, James, it's if you take the time to understand some of the simple things that you can do in the beginning, it's not overwhelming. And the chance of success, I think, is actually very high. You know, indies are accounting for almost, 45% of the ebook market share on Amazon. Okay. That's almost half. It's pretty incredible. And when you look at, you know, the trend, 2 years ago, I think indies were sitting around 27%. So in the space of the last 2 years, maybe next year, indies will have doubled their market share. So yes, there are a lot of free books out there. Yes, there are a lot of people who are self-publishing, but consumers are actually starting to trade their purchasing power in, and instead of buying only traditionally published books, they're buying a lot of indie published books as well. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, me too. And of course, the clever indies are making it more and more difficult to tell the difference between a traditionally published book and an indie published book. And, you know, James's point that there aren't that many authors that are prepared to switch onto the marketing side, I think that is true. But that's an opportunity for the ones that are. So people listening to a podcast like this and learning how to use services like free books, you know, immediately elevating themselves above most of the competition, which I just think there's so many opportunities to make a positive impact these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the vast majority of authors out there think that the work comes in writing the book, which is not untrue. It is very, very difficult to write a book. It is something, you know, that I cannot do. And the fact that somebody can do it is great. But when it comes to self-publishing, writing the book is maybe 30 or 40% of the work. Once you finish the book, there's still a whole lot to do, you know, from the editing, proofing, getting the right cover design, publishing it, and then all the way through the marketing. And so a lot of the books that are sitting out there, when you do your searches and you look at the self-publishing stats, a lot of that are authors who are saying, hey, I've written my book, they've put it out there, and then they haven't taken the next step to do the last, you know, run the rest of the race. And so if you take the time to do some of those things, that's where you really start joining this community of indie authors who are thriving and who are making money from their craft and who are doing very well.
Yep, that's where we want to be. So Ricky, let's drill down a little bit into some of the detail and talk specifically about mailing lists. Can you give us some entry-level tips to start off with on building and keeping a mailing list engaged?
For authors who are just getting started, the very first thing I would say is start building your own personal mailing list right away. And you can start doing this even before you have published your book. There are lots of great services and tools out there. My recommendation would be MailChimp. That's what we use, and we've been really happy with the service. It's also free up through 2,000 subscribers. You simply go to MailChimp, you would set up an account, and you create an email list called, you know, if whatever your name is, you know, say I'm the author, Ricky Wellman's mailing list. I would just say Ricky Wellman's mailing list. And you slowly start adding readers to that list. So the low-hanging fruit is obviously friends and family. So you would send out an email to your friends and family and say, hey, I'm in the process of writing a book. Would you like me to keep you updated on how it's going and let you know when it's published? If so, please click this link and join my mailing list. And that way you can probably get your first 50 to 1,000 signups, depending on how popular you are. co-workers, right? If you still have a day job, email your co-workers, let them know what you're doing.
I can still remember receiving Mark's first emails. Yeah, I'm still getting the emails.
Right, and you're still buying his books.
So, exactly. Yeah.
You know, you got to start somewhere. So I would say start there, because it's a very thrilling feeling the first time that somebody signs up for your mailing list. And then when you start logging into your list, or you get an email from MailChimp every day that says you have a new subscriber to your list. This is a marathon. It's not a race. You're not looking to build a mailing list like we have over the course of a few months. It's going to take a long time, but the secret to success here is just to be doing it all the time, because it adds up. If you're adding a couple people every day over the course of a year, all of a sudden you actually have a mailing list that could be close to 1,000 people. So take the first step, set up your mailing list, and start asking people to join it. Then if you have a website, you would have a little sign up link on your website so that people who are coming to your website can sign up for your mailing list as well. Once your book is published, at the very end of the book, in the back matter portion, when somebody has finished reading the book, you'd say, did you enjoy this book? Sign up for my mailing list and I'll let you know when I have additional titles that are being published. And so all those things working together will allow you to slowly start building your list. Those are just organic ways to go about doing it. Once you start getting a little more sophisticated and you have some marketing dollars, there are other ways to build your list, like through Facebook ads. Mark has an incredible course that will walk you through exactly how to do this. So I would recommend that as well. And then it's all about engaging the people on your list. So I would say rule number one, don't spam people. Nobody likes that. You don't like it. So don't do it to anybody else. I would say set up a schedule and say, hey, I'm going to email my list once a month. I think that's enough if you're an author, and it's enough to keep people engaged, but not so much that people are going to start unsubscribing. And then every month, just think about what you want to tell people about. If you've got a book your book is about to be published, then you would email that list and you would say to them, hey, my book's coming out on Tuesday. I would love your support. Would you please go and purchase the book on Amazon and include a link for them? If you're still in the process of writing the book, you could just send an email once a month and say, hey, this is my status update. I'm halfway through the book, or I'm stuck on chapter 3, or I've had a lot of writer's block, or I'm almost done, but I'm struggling with this issue. People are really interested in the writing process, especially those of us who cannot write. We love to read about authors and how you're creating this book and how you're writing it and the challenges and triumphs along the way. So I don't think it has to be complex. It just has to be genuine, and people will find that interesting. And they might even forward it on to other people who will then join your mailing list. So all of these things kind of feed into each other to slowly grow and build your own audience.
Yeah, I mean, I remember really vividly getting the first email from MailChimp that wasn't from someone that I knew, saying that, you know, someone has just subscribed to your mailing list. That was an amazing feeling, actually. And it's good to remember that, because I it's not like that these days. I get a lot more than a couple coming in a day. It's you know, many more than that now. But it's good to remember that every time you get that email from MailChimp, that's another reader who has decided that they like your stuff enough to give you something that's quite personal to them in their email address. But yeah, it's good to hear that, because I sometimes get a bit blasé about that, and I went for months without being able to make this work. So it's
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all started from zero. FreeBooksy had a mailing list of zero 5 years ago. You know, Mark had a mailing list of zero. You know, James, I don't know where your mailing list is today, but, you know,
your prediction was correct.
Maybe you do have a mailing list of zero right now.
Yeah.
But we all started there, and it's really, you know, I would just say have fun with it. It's a really fun process, and it is thrilling to start getting those emails and see people signing up who are not friends and family, who are just interested in you and your work. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Well, that's great. And I think the engagement is something of an art form for you, Ricky, and it's great to hear you talking about it. I particularly like the line about it doesn't have to be complex, it just does have to be genuine. And I think getting that voice right is very important. I think Mark does that very well, actually. I'll even say that begrudgingly in his emails. I think getting that voice, that friendly, informative, but not overbearing, works well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just, you know, you write the emails if you were talking to a friend or somebody from high school you haven't seen for a while. You're just really filling them in on what you're doing on the author or writing side of your life. People will find that interesting. I think sometimes authors discount how incredible their skill and their craft is. And, you know, especially when you hang out with a lot of other authors, you kind of assume, oh, this is something anybody can do. And there's maybe not as much kind of bragging rights around writing as I feel like there should be.
That's because they're all massively insecure.
And so from authors I hear a lot, they say, well, I've got nothing to email people about. What can I, you know, what am I going to email them? And there are plenty of things. Just talk to people about what it's like to be a writer. What does your day look like? How are you juggling writing and having a full-time job? How are you picking the title for your book? How are you naming your characters? How do you choose your setting? All of these things are really, really interesting, and people would much enjoy hearing about it through your email newsletter.
Great. Okay, well, should we move on to some tricks and tools of the trade? I mean, there's quite a range of promotional tools available today. Some is free advice, some are quite expensive to sign into. Are there particular promotional tools, Ricky, that you see as effective?
Well, you know, we've spoken a lot about email marketing, so I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I will say I believe that email marketing is still the most, you know, effective marketing tool that is out there. So you're going to be building your own list. You continue to do that. And then the other way that people use email marketing is that they basically rent lists, which is what our service does. It's what services like BookBub does. You know, BookBub, us, we've built really huge audiences of readers, and you basically pay to get in front of that reader audience. And, you know, it's the quickest, most effective way to get your book in front of readers and boost your downloads and boost your sales. And we can talk about that a little bit more later on. The other effective tools I've seen out there are, so I don't want to gloss over promotional days. You know, I'm kind of assuming here that everyone knows what I mean when I say if you're going to rent a list, the very first step there is actually to have a calendar and set up a promotional day. So either you're going to set your book to free for a couple of days, or maybe you're going to discount your book to 99 cents or even $2.99, depending on what your strategy is. And so taking a very planned approach to these promotional days is going to set you up for success. So you would kind of look out at the next 6 months. I'm not sure, Mark, if you do it in 6 month increments or you look at a whole year down the road, but, you know, look at the title or titles that you have and then pick days on the calendar where you're going to discount the book or run a promotional day. The reason that promotional days are so effective is twofold. One is that, you know, you're discounting or you're making your book free. So it really is a discount and your readers and people out there are going to respond to that. But the second is that when you actually mark that day on the calendar and you say, I'm going to do a promotional day, it forces you to really focus all of your attention on marketing for those 48 to 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And you know, you say you're going to send out an email and, you know, you're going to tweet and you're going to ask people for support and maybe you're going to, you know, buy slots in lists like ours. But as an author, it makes you 100% focused on marketing for a couple days every month. And the result is that you will see sales and you will see success, because when you focus on marketing, it will work. The challenge is, how do you get yourself to focus on marketing? So setting up those promotional days is kind of the first step in all of this.
Yeah, it's important to slot this in a minute and to answer the question. I'm very lazy now on promotion, just because, and I know this is kind of one of the things, my objectives for this year is to stop being so bloody lazy about it. But I've got so many books now that it's just kind of looking at the calendar and forcing myself to stop writing, actually starts planning promotion, is something that gets put on the back burner a bit too much. And that is just lazy on my part, because I know that if, say, I did a deal for 99 cents on one of my books, you know, then I'd get a bargain Booksy placement. I'd get in with Bookbub, you'd put them in as well. Maybe you'd layer in some other promotion. You'd send an email out to your list. And provided you time that right, you can kind of propel the book higher up the Amazon rankings, which means more visibility, which means more sales, which means more visibility, all that kind of stuff. See, I know that works. And that was something I did really diligently when I was starting to push this a bit in 2013 and 2014. But I've got lazy now. So I think one thing I want to take away from this conversation is to stop being so lazy. Get this sorted out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Jackie Weger. I think she runs e-novel authors. And I read a quote on her blog recently that said, when I promote my book, I sell more copies. Hmm. And, you know, it's the most simple statement.
It's
100% true. If you take the time to sit and promote your book, you will sell more copies. And so that's why I like promo days, because it really forces you to sit down and focus only on promoting your book.
Say I've got a free books or a bargain books or promotion coming up. What would you recommend as the things I should do to make that promotion as successful as possible?
Sure. So you did mention BookBub. You know, BookBub is a great service. They have the largest list by far out there, out of all the sites. So if you can get a BookBub, I would do that too. Many of our authors, if they get a BookBub, they will purchase a bargain Booksy and a free Booksy as well, because kind of the 1-2 punch of having visibility on both our site and their site guarantees that you're going to, you know, shoot up to probably somewhere within the top 20 or top 50 on the Amazon charts, depending on your genre. So definitely try for a BookBub, schedule a feature with us. We do not have the same strict editorial criteria as BookBub does, mainly because, you know, we were born out of my mom's book, which was, it's really hard to get that first promotion. It's really hard to get those first reviews. So we don't feel that we should be only picking the authors who've already made it. So if you can't get in a BookBub, don't worry, you can still get a feature with us. So schedule your features with your paid services, your rental lists. Then make sure to send out an email to your list as well. If you're active on Twitter or Facebook, now's the time to, on the days of the promotion, to tweet and make sure that you post to Facebook about your book being discounted or free. And if you've started dabbling with ads, I would even recommend boosting those posts, which is basically putting some paid dollars behind Facebook and Twitter to get some further amplification so your book gets in front of even more people. And then, you know, asking through your email list and through your Twitter followers, asking people to retweet you and to forward on the email, that's going to help you as well. The tipping point comes when you start climbing those Amazon charts and you start becoming visible in the top 100, because what happens then is that people who are not on our list or BookBub lists or on Twitter or on Facebook, but who just happen to be on Amazon that day surfing and looking for their next book to read, they will find your book because most consumers browse by searching the top charts. And so they're going to go to the top 100 free Kindle books and they're going to page through and they're going to see your book, or they're going to go to, you know, the top 100 books in mystery. And if you're sitting somewhere in the top 100 charts, chances are they're going to find you. And that leads to this halo effect of even more downloads and more sales. And then Amazon's algorithm sees all this activity around your book, and it's now looking at who's purchasing your book and all their other activity. And then they start recommending your book in that little section on the bottom that says, people who purchased this also viewed this. And so all of this kind of feeds into this wave that keeps building. And that's where you see your sales and downloads continue to, you know, generate days and weeks after the promotional days have ended.
And that's when you start doing screen caps, when you're sitting next to Stephen King for about 2 hours.
Exactly. Another one of those thrilling things the first time it happens. And now, Mark, you probably take it for granted.
I'm joking.
Ricky, let me just ask you again, sort of from a rookie point of view, about, I think most people listening to this podcast will accept the idea that starting out as an author, it's starting a business and you need to invest at the beginning. And most businesses don't make money to start off with. You'll get to a point where it's an investment, a point where it's a break even, and a point where it's profit if you're doing it right. Although, you know, lots of authors, I don't think, do accept that. They think they're going to start selling their first book. But let's put them to one side. I mean, can you put figures on this for a rookie? Can you say to me how much you think I should be investing in that first book with the next one coming out soon with a view to being profitable in the future?
Before I answer the question about the actual number, what I will say is the more books you have, the more money you will make. And so being a first-time author, you have multiple challenges. You have the challenge of getting your first book out there, getting reviews and getting sales. And then you have the challenge of you're at a disadvantage because you only have one book. Because when somebody finishes your book, there's nothing else for them to go and purchase. And then if they haven't signed up for your email list, they kind of put the book down and then they forget about you. And how are you going to get that person to come back and purchase your book the next time that you publish it? I know for many authors, I think Russell Blake talks about this a lot. You don't really start making significant money until you have two or three and or four titles that are out there. Because when you promote one title and people start reading that title, it leads to people purchasing the other titles in your portfolio, you know, per se. So what I would probably recommend is when you publish that first book, you do a lot of the things we've talked about, like starting to build your list and running a promotional day once every quarter. But I would actually focus a lot of your attention on writing the next book, which may sound a little counterintuitive, but I think that is really the key to success, that you're going to be investing in the first book, but you're investing in writing additional titles. So as you're building this list and as you're building a following, you actually have other things to sell to your readers.
Yeah, that's that story I told of going, you know, sitting down and taking my phone out when I had the free book seat promotion. You nailed the two things I hadn't got lined up. So I didn't have another book. So all those 50,000 people, maybe you know, 10,000 would read the book, but there was nowhere else for them to go afterwards. And even more unforgivably, I didn't have an email list. So they couldn't even subscribe to something where I could tell them that I was working on the follow-up. So, you know, when I look back at that now, I was very naive about that. And you know, I've done okay, but I still kind of kick myself that I could perhaps have accelerated things by 6 months if I'd taken things in a more professional fashion right from the start. So that's great advice. Everyone should, at the very, very least, should have a mailing list. And that doesn't cost anything. You can get a free one with MailChimp up to 2,000 people.
Yeah. And so to circle back to your original question was, you know, can I put some figures on this? You know, I wouldn't be spending a whole ton of marketing dollars when you only have one title out there. I think you could get away with budgeting maybe $100 or $200 a quarter for your promotional days so that you're buying slots in rental lists. You know, if you get a BookBub, that's a very different story. But getting a BookBub on a first book when you have no other titles is almost a little bit of a waste because you're not going to get any of the halo that you would normally see from that. So I would say, you know, what would get your first title out. I think that should be a goal. And once it's out, start promoting it, you know, every quarter so that you can grow your reviews and you can grow your following and it'll slowly grow your reader list. But spend the rest of your time writing the next title. Then once you have two titles out, then you can start investing a little bit more because you also got to think about the return on your dollars. If you're spending $100 a quarter and you only have one book to sell, there's only X amount of revenue you can make. You can now spend that same $100, but now there are two titles to sell. So your return on that investment is going to be higher. And so it goes as you have more and more titles. And then once you're starting to be ROI positive, then you up your marketing spend so that you're actually creating a business that is profitable as you're investing in it.
This is another question that I've been thinking about for a little while. You're in a really excellent position to answer this because you, with free books and bargain books, you kind of straddle both sides of the argument. If you go onto forums these days and people will be talking about the best way to promote, and in particular, the best price point. And one of the arguments I see quite a lot is that free is over. Free is not as popular as it was, say, 5 years ago, which might be true. And people are starting to say that 99 cents is the new free. So people, instead of giving away books, should put them to 99 cents because there's some kind of advantage there. Now, I'm not sure that I agree with that, but you're in a particularly good place to comment on whether you see any truth in that.
You know, we're constantly looking at the click-through rate and the number of downloads that are coming through from FreeBooksy, and the FreeBooks email only has free books in it. And we're seeing growth in the number of free downloads. We're not seeing any kind of shrinkage there in terms of you know, what readers want. And then at the 99-cent, you know, 99-cent price point is compelling to readers. The challenge there is that if you're not doing a Kindle Countdown deal, you're only getting a 30% royalty share. So the amount of money you're making at the 99-cent price point is so little that I think it's more impactful to do free, because you're going to get a lot more downloads, and then you're going to see sell through on your other titles that you can then price at other price points. If you only have one book, it's a slightly different story. But if you have multiple titles, especially if you have a series, setting the first book in the series to free or doing free promotional days, I think is still very highly effective marketing technique.
Yeah, because I mean the whole idea is to make an impulse purchase completely frictionless, and at zero there is no price friction, so no one's going to think I have to spend something. And even though 99 cents is a very small amount of money, it is still a spend. So you are going to be losing people who aren't prepared to spend anything, just kind of almost on an instinctive level. Whereas something that's free is much more likely just to be, you know, kind of clicked on and downloaded. So sure. Yeah, I've never bought that argument. I'm pleased, and I'm not surprised that you see that from your data.
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, the click through rates on free versus paid, free is 4 to 5 times higher. So there is, to your point, you know, free is free, and free is very powerful, and people will click through and download a free book without really thinking about it twice. And 99 cents, you have to click that, you know, pay with credit card and check your credit card button, and there, you know, it gives people pause, even though you would think, you know, it's less than a dollar. What's the difference? But there is a big difference.
Okay, Rookie, before we let you go, I've been hogging you a bit on the Rookie side of things. So can we move things on for this last couple of questions to authors with more experience, with more books, who are making money? Perhaps they've got a full-time job and it's good money, but not enough for them to change their life. What's your advice to them? How do they take it to the next level?
I think we've touched on a lot of it, but I'm going to kind of distill it for us here. Make sure that you continue to do your promotional days, Mark.
Yeah.
So Busted. So for authors, you know, and again, we run into this a lot. Once you become somewhat successful, your income is kind of more stable and more consistent on a daily basis. We do see that authors tend to take their foot off the gas when it comes to setting up their promotional days and really putting a focus on marketing once a month or once every quarter. And so I would say, try and get that discipline back and make sure that you are still doing that. If nothing else, to make sure that you're spending some time on marketing, which, you know, can fall by the wayside. So set your promotional days, focus on your marketing. I would also say, if you have a portfolio of titles and none of them are free, I would set one to be permanently free, because free is very powerful. And we know, I think Kobo shared the stat that if somebody reads your first book that's free, the sell-through rate on your other titles are 45 to 55%. So the lifetime value there to an author of having, you know, giving away one book for free, if you have 5, 6, 7 other titles that are then going to be purchased, is pretty high. And I think it's absolutely worth doing once you get to that point. The other thing I would say is get your book in all formats. So another takeaway from the author earnings report was that indies are starting to take some share in print and audiobook as well. Right now, it's not as marked as in the ebook sales, but I do think that as more and more readers are purchasing their physical books online, indies are going to continue to take share. That's really exciting. And if you already have a portfolio of titles, it's a fairly cheap way to amplify your revenue and see some growth without having to write a new book. Just make sure your book is available in print. And then for your bestsellers, get an audiobook edition out.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, the way I look at it is, if I've written a book, that's a piece of intellectual property, and I want to exploit every single iteration of that IP. So the obvious one is selling it as a book, an ebook, then definitely get it in print through GreatSpace or Lightning Source or something like that. Audio is a big thing for me. So I got all my books up with Audible last year. And then even things like looking at kind of film rights, foreign translation is quite a big one for me this year, trying to push on a bit and get some more rights sold around the world. So I don't like leaving money on the table, and I don't like things to be left unexploited. So all of those are really, really great suggestions for more experienced authors.
Great. Rookie, It's been fabulous listening to you. Value packed, I would say. What's next for you and Written Word Media?
Well, you know, we're just going to continue doing what we do best, which is building our audience, you know, a really active reader audience that can help indies sell more books. And we're always experimenting with new products for authors and figuring out what's the most effective. And yeah, that's my passion. I love marketing. So I'm just going to continue to spend my time there. And, you know, we'd love to catch up with you guys down the road and let you know if we come up with anything new and exciting.
Oh, well, absolutely. You can guarantee it that we will remain firm friends. So, Ricky, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that was Ricky. It was really good talking to her. So Ricky's a tenacious person, and unusually perhaps for the type of person we interview, not an author herself, all about how to help authors and how to gain that visibility. And she's it's meta, like a lot of people in the digital space. She does what she teaches, if you like, and she gets her own visibility and her own mailing list up and under people's noses, and then she teaches us how to do that. And yeah, as you said right at the beginning, and your little anecdote there, Mark, that this was an important moment for you when you used the services of Free Booksy. So an important part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Free Books is great. It's certainly in the top tier of services that authors can go to increase visibility and chances of being discovered. And one thing we can trail ahead to now is quite excited. We're going to have BookBub on as well in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So, you know, Free Books on the one hand, BookBub on the other. BookBub is well known now in the space as being a massive juggernaut when it comes to, you know, driving sales and downloads. So we're going to have a chat to them coming up. And if anyone has any questions that they'd like us to put to BookBub, then they can leave them in the comments for this show, and we'll pick those up and we'll filter some and get a list of interesting questions that we can hopefully put to them. Perhaps they haven't been asked before, and you haven't heard the answers before, so that could be cool.
Yeah, exciting to have BookBub on. That's a really big beast to land, which is sort of a fishing and hunting metaphor all in one. That's, you can tell I'm a writer. I should say just before we go that Mark and I have had some fun this week. We've been putting together our list of podcast episodes going up until, well beyond the middle part of the year, well into July. And we've got the list in front of us. Suffice to say, there's going to be a continuation of really interesting guests, and I think a couple that will stand out, authors at various stages of their career, including quite early on. So we've got one guy who's had a real breakthrough year this year, another guy who had a bit of a breakthrough in terms of getting his mailing list working last year, and we get into some of the nitty-gritty. So some of that will be kind of just inspirational, hearing from other authors who've cracked that aspect of it, and we'll get some tips, but a lot of it will be the detail of how they've done that and some instructional stuff. And the other thing that we're going to do, and this is really looking at the stats, because we can now start to look at what podcast episodes are more popular than others that people have downloaded. And something that became clear to us, Mark, is that in the black and white stats is that people liked the episode where you basically talked through the top tips, the 5 must-do actions for new authors. So we didn't actually have an interviewee on for that episode, but it's made it clear that people do want value, they want to learn, and they want to be able to grow their careers by listening to this podcast and others. So we're going to do a couple more of those, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And the first one we'll do is the answer to the question I get asked most of all these days is, what should I do as a starting author? And my first... And, you know, the main response to that is just get a mailing list set up straight away. So we'll talk about mailing lists, but what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what services you can look at, you know, whether you should go for something simple like AWeb or MailChimp or something more complicated like Infusionsoft or ActiveCampaign, something like that. And just the kind of the pros and cons, the do's and don'ts that people should be bearing in mind when they're setting up what will probably be their most valuable asset as an independent author.
So that, in fact, will be the next podcast. We're going to call it something like It's the Mailing List, Stupid, because it is a real 101, isn't it, for authors. And don't worry, we are going to start at the beginning. I'm going to be asking some basic questions of what is a mailing list? Now, how do you actually go about setting it up? How do you actually go about growing it? As well as some of the sort of if you like, methods and approaches in general terms to why you should have it as an author. So that'll be our next one, and we'll have a few more of those episodes that will start to fill up in the bank there. You can go back, of course, in iTunes or your preferred provider and get all our episodes and listen to them. Some great quality stuff we've had already, and lots more to come.
Cool. I look forward to being back next week.
Indeed. Thank you very much to our guest, Ricky Woolman, and we will see you next time out.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing Formula podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingformula.com for more information, show notes, and links on today's topics. You can also sign up for our free video series on using Facebook ads to grow your mailing list. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. We'll see you next time.